Well, this morning, I've prepared a rather simple lesson. It's really not going to be very difficult at all to understand or to take note of, but it's a simple lesson that is reminding us of a very important subject. It's something that's really big. You would think that such a big idea would have, you know, such big compliments to it. It'd have, you know, such elaborate arguments and illustrations to be able to show the import of its greatness, of its, you know, mega status. But like I said, it's really just rather simple lesson. And what it is that we were talking about as far as handling with care is the idea of handling our souls with care. We saw there in our scripture reading where there was a man that was very prepared for life and was accomplishing a lot in life and was doing a lot in life and had accomplished some greatness in life. And though he had accomplished such great things in life, it implies that he, in just trying to live and, you know, make a living and to enjoy life and his living, that he forgot about the idea that someday this living ends. Some days we stop living here, you know, upon this earth. Someday we end living in this life. And so he was asked the question, so tonight you die. But that's just the death or the shedding of the physical body. There is the ongoing, there is the ever-living spirit. There is the ever-living soul that inhabits your body, that defines who you are, that says, you know, this is Joe Griffin, or, you know, you put your name there. I know that we identify and we associate one another very rapidly, and we're able to, you know, to identify one another just by looks. Oh, yeah, I know you, you know, you look like... And then sometimes, you know, we don't see someone for a while, and there's some things that have changed about their looks. They have aged or, you know, something like that. And then we kind of, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, now, you know, I know who you are. But that's not, you know, what we are identifying when we go, oh, well, I know who you are. You know, we're identifying, well, you know, yeah, I remember, you know, your personality. I remember your character. I remember, you know, some things that, you know, we did together or things that we enjoyed. I remember you like, you know, certain things. You know, I remember you'd cheer for the angels when no one else would. And I'm not talking about the heavenly angels. You know, those kind of things, you know, are really who we are. And that continues to exist. That continues to live on. And so Jesus said, so, you know, what of your soul? You have said, I've done well, soul. He says, but tonight you die, and what are you going to be saying about your soul? In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, let me go back to this slide just because here it's glaring at me somewhat, and I don't want to have that, I guess, glaring at me any longer than I have to have it. But in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning at the ninth verse, we read, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should enter rest, that they should rest yet for a little time, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. We see here where that after their physical life has been taken, after their bodies have been slain, you know, where that they are no longer walking among, you know, a material or a physical world, that there is something just like that man who had torn down his barns and was or planning to tear down his barns and build bigger barns because, you know, he had produced such a great crop. That even though that his physical life, his material life, this body was going to cease to be, that there was living, there was life beyond, there was life past that. And so he was being asked the question, so what about that life? Have you prepared for that life? Are you ready for that life? You've been taking care of living life very well, and in many ways there's nothing wrong with that. Until it distracts us and detracts us from our eternal goal, from the idea of understanding that this is not all that there is. We don't go around just once. We go around twice, and the second time's for eternity. So we have here this idea in Revelation then in chapter 6. We see this image here of those who have shed that physical body, but yet they are still living. And that physical body apparently had to endure some terrible things. It had been slain because they were Christians. It had been offered up in a sacrifice, and the word slain carries with it the idea of a brutal way. And that they had been sacrificed, that they had been offered up brutally. And so we find here that these individuals have died short of having lived, you know, a complete life, a full life in the sense of their body just having lived as long as it could live, and then finally it gives out. Their lives have been cut short. They probably could have lived for many years beyond this period of time, but yet now they've been slain, they've been killed, but they're still living. And their souls now here, as they have been offered as a sacrifice to God under the altar, they are still alive. And those entities, the people that had inhabited those bodies, are crying out. And here they are rewarded and they are given rest. So I want us to understand that this is a really important idea. This is a really important subject. But we're just going to look at it in very simple terms. You know, it's kind of interesting to look at the words here, as we will see in a moment, kind of how that they're swapped in and out. But the word here for soul, and sometimes, though it's an entirely different word than the word spirit, they are both defined very similarly. You know, spirit is also this idea of a breath of air, you know, passing through. And soul has a very similar idea as that, but it's a different word. It has a different idea. There is a distinction between the two. Sometimes they seem to be used interchangeably, but that's because both of them are indicating something that is unseen. Something that we do not see, but it exists. We do not see, but we see the evidence of its existence. Like air, like wind. Though we do not see it, we see the evidence of it. And so we have this soul and spirit that inhabit our body. That's a part of that which defines us. And those are things that live eternally and only die eternally in the sense that they can die being separated from God, that they can die and be left from God's presence. And so the only way that the spirit and soul ever die is to die, to be removed from the presence of God. And to be removed from the presence of God, it's not cool. It's not good. It's not fun. It's, you know, it's terrible. That's from whom all blessings flow. And so, you know, if all blessings flow from God and you're cut off from God's presence, what's left? Well, Jesus, you know, he illustrates it like being great darkness where you can't see anything. He illustrates it, you know, like being heat, being fire. He illustrates it, you know, like the gnashing of teeth. He illustrates it like being in anguish because you're not being blessed of God. You're not, you know, in the presence of God. You're not living with God. And so that which we do not see is what we're talking about. That which gives our bodies this physical body life. That's what we are talking about. And so, some things that we'd like to consider in respect to this idea of handle with care. You know, here we have this idea that just those words, you know, we're getting into that season, we're getting into that time where I don't know about you, maybe you'll get a package from someone, you know, with a gift in it. Maybe you have some packages that you're putting together or that you already have if you're one of those that's really, you know, on top of things and you've already mailed it so it doesn't, you know, get hung up in the mail and it gets there right before or at least, you know, before, you know, this this day, you know, of celebration, this day of gift giving. And so, you know, you've already prepared it, but you've got something in that package and you want to make sure that it arrives, you know, in pristine condition. You want to make sure it's not damaged. And so you mark on that package, handle with care. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten a package, you know, that says handle with care? I'm sure that we have. And so what if our souls, if we could just see stamped on our souls these words, handle with care? What would that be telling us about the soul? Well, one of the things that we would do, one of the reasons that we do that is because whatever it is that we are sending, whatever it is that's in that package, whatever it is that we are mailing, it has value to us. And it has value to the person that's going to be receiving it, doesn't it? And so we want to make sure that it's not, you know, something happened to it so that its value is lost. So when we say that we ought to have these words stamped where that we could read them on what we cannot see on a soul, handle with care, then maybe we would, you know, think about and we would, you know, consider that our soul is something of great value. We find that we can understand the idea of this value like from Mark chapter 8 and in verse 36 and 37 when Jesus says, "What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what should a man give in exchange for his life?" Some translations have their soul. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? And one of the reasons why that you have some of these differences in translations, because that word, suche, that's used for soul, is a word that also is considered life-giving. It is life. And so we find that many times that they are interchangeable, that they're translated the same. Now, there are other words for life also that are used, like in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, when he talks there about life and he talks about eternal life, he uses a different word. But so some translations have soul here and some have life. And one of the reasons why that some of them translate it life rather than soul is because, you know, we all know the stories, maybe the movie. You ever seen a movie or something like that where the devil comes up and goes, "Hey, you know, I'll give you, what would you like to have? What is it that you would most like to have in life, but you know you can't have it because you can't afford it or because of this or that or something, but you know that it's actually impossible for you ever to have it?" And you go, "Well, you know, I'd kind of like to have the angels going to the..." Sorry, keep picking on the angels. We'll leave them alone after this, Gene. but you know, whatever it is that we would like to have, you know, "I would like to have..." And so the devil goes, "I tell you what, I'll give you that. You'll be able to have that, but you'll sell me your soul." And so we have there then where that when we die, then we have to give the devil our soul because, you know, we sold it for something. But one of the reasons I think that the translators translate life here is because when we think of the soul and the giving up of the soul, and a lot of people, you know, don't even necessarily even believe in the soul, but we see that as something some time off. Kind of like, you know, those individuals that have given their life under the altar, that, you know, their souls are on the altar, and we said their life had been cut short. They didn't get to live a long life. Well, we don't think that, you know, when we think of selling our soul. We get to live a long time. We get to enjoy whatever it is that Satan's given us, you know, for many years. And then at the end of that, you know, he gets to have our soul for all eternity, really, you know. But anyway, but the word also has that idea of life. And so if you translate it life and you say this, you say, I tell you what, I'll give you $50 billion. And you're going, wow, okay, great, hand it over. No, but you're going to have to give your life for it. What do you mean I'm going to have to give my life? I mean, when I give it to you, you're going to die, type of thing, you see? You'll no longer be alive. Well, in this life, but you're not going to take the $50 billion with you in the next life. Somebody else is going to get it. You know, hopefully, maybe, you know, I'm in your will. And, you know, I get some of it. But, you know, all of us are going to be left here. And with that image, you go, no, wait, that's not a very good deal. I'll just go get life insurance so that when I do die, you know, but I don't have to, you know, I don't have to die right now to have it. You know, I won't get it, but I just don't have to die right now to have it. But here, I have to die to have it. You know, that's, we get that. And so we understand that's not sensible. That's not reasonable. What sensible person would do that, you see? And so if we then understand that of the soul as well, what would you sell your soul for? Well, if you're talking about my soul living eternally versus just my body that lives for a little while, I guess I would like for my soul to enjoy eternity, and I don't want the devil to have my soul. You know, okay, no, I wouldn't sell it for any. See, that's saying it's got a lot of value. In fact, the soul has so much value. In the 19th chapter of John, the 10th verse, Jesus said that He came into the world to save men, to save our souls, to save us eternally. So the idea there, so it is so precious that God took His only begotten Son, Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and He sent Him into the world. And we know then that it is so valuable that when God sent Jesus into the world, that God already had in mind and knew, and Jesus Himself knew. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3 reminds us that He died for our sins. That He died for our sins. You know, I personally might die for you. Now, Paul talks about over in Romans, you know, chapter 5, considering that idea, you know, who would really die for another, you know, type of thing. Well, I might die for you, but I tell you, that I know that I would die for you before I'd ask one of my sons to die for you. And yet, the soul is of such great value that God was willing to send His only Son, to ask His Son to die for us. We find that the soul is of such great value that Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is of such great value that Jesus Christ not only came to save that soul, but He came to save it so that He could share His abiding place with us, that we can abide with Him. And you can imagine wherever the Creator of the universe would live, be a pretty cool place to live, wouldn't it? Be a pretty good place. And that's what He is offering us. And so that helps us to see that when we have this word handle with care, these two words, handle with care, written on our souls, that it's telling us, hey, there's something in you that's of great value. There's something in you that's worth something. And therefore, it needs to be handled with care. We need to be careful about what we do with this. We find another thing that these words remind us of, that it indicates that the object can be damaged or destroyed in some way. We realize that, well, just like that package there, whatever's in that box, I sure hope that it's not breakable. And I sure hope that they had a lot of cushion in it, and thinking that this, in all of this dents and all these crushed places in it, you know, are not in there touching whatever the object is that's in there, because we realize that it's probably whatever's in there is not going to come out looking too good, is it? And there's a good chance that it's going to be broken. And so this idea that our soul can actually be damaged or destroyed. Over in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, we find that the Holy Spirit reveals to the Apostle Paul there this idea of living this life in obedience to Jesus Christ so that we can have eternal life. And he sums it up here in verse 23 with this. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So here's this package that has this wonderful gift in it. A free gift. That's the idea of a gift, you know, is that we didn't have to pay for it. Somebody else did. So we have this free gift from God that's available to us, which is eternal life. But he says that something comes along and it would seek to take away that free gift and pay wages for something earned. And what we earn is death, he says, is eternal condemnation. And so we need to be aware that even though that our soul doesn't have these words handled with care imprinted on them, that we need to be mindful that the soul that we have, though it is eternal, it can be damaged. It can be damaged in that it can be condemned to an eternal devil's hell. We find that we need to remember that carelessness sometimes. I mean, we may not even just be going out, you know. It's not like somebody was kicking that around saying, "I wonder if a soccer ball's in that. Oh, I don't know. Here, let's give that thing a big old kick, you know." And maybe that's where, you know, this big old dent came from. This big old crushed area came from. It's, you know, whoop, no soccer ball in that, you know. I heard something go ting-a-ling-a-ling, you know. I heard glass type of something breaking. It's not always that we just intentionally go out and go, "You know what? I think I'll just do my soul harm." Now, sometimes people do. They just get so sold into sin that then they just intentionally go out and harm their soul. But we need to realize that sometimes it can just be carelessness. Over in Hebrews, the third chapter, and in the 12th verse, we find that after talking about how the children of Israel, through carelessness, lost their promise to enter into this land, the land of Canaan that God had prepared for them, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest perhaps there shall be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and fallen away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So sometimes we just get deceived. Well, you know, I'm going to live for a long time anyway. I can fix all this before I die type of thing. You know, I'll be able to do it sometime later on or something like that. Or just maybe, you know, oh, I don't know for sure. Maybe I'll just chance. The Lord knows I love Him. You know, He can see it in my heart that I love Him. But I'll just take a chance. I'll risk, you know, doing something that I am pretty sure that the Lord wouldn't be pleased with. I'll risk going ahead and doing that anyway, you know, just because. And so we have to be careful, lest by the deceitfulness of sin, that we lose our soul. And so we find that the soul can be damaged or destroyed. Something else that the words handle with care tell us is it's a sign of caution. It's a sign, you know, to be careful with whatever it is that we have those words stamped on it. You know, handle this with care. For the members here, you know, several years ago I worked for the post office. I was a mail carrier, rural relief carrier. And when I would go into the post office in the morning and to case my mail and case your mails, where they bring you, you know, all the mail that goes on your route, but they haven't separated it, you know, to the various people that it goes to, the various addresses it goes to. And so you have to go through there and you have to put it in these slots according to the way that you'll deliver, you know, the mail. And so when you pull it out of the slot, then see all your mail's all right there together in the order that you'll deliver it. So you just look at your mail, and then you have, you know, you go on, and then you have, you know, other things. And so when I'd be going in, the clerks, some of the clerks had different jobs. One of the clerks would be sorting the parcels, because they wouldn't bring the parcels to us, you know, the packages, until a little later, by the time we'd finished casing our mail, putting our mail together. Then they'd bring us this, you know, you've seen them probably at the post office, like a canvas, you know, box-like thing on four wheels, like on a little dolly. And, you know, they used to stand about that tall, and they're about yay big. And so a clerk, he'd have one of these great big ones here in front of him, and then he had all around him, all of these, you know, all these cases, all these dollies that the parcels would go in. And then on those, it would have the route number. I carried route number 22. And so it had the route number on there. And so the clerk, just like I'd have to learn the addresses, he'd have to look at the address, and he'd have to know, you know, whether or not that went to what route. And so he would stand there, and he'd pull up one of these parcels, and he'd look at it, and he'd see the address, and he'd go, oh, that goes on route 19. And he'd throw it over into the canvas box. He'd pick up another. Oh, that one goes to Route 21. Throw it over there. Oh, that one goes to Route 3. And so, see, he wouldn't have to go around and carry each one individually, you know, to each one of those little carriers, you know, that they'd put it in. That'd take too much time. And so he'd just stand there and he'd toss them in. So one day when I was going through there and kind of gotten to know the clerks a little better, I said, what if one of those packages have handle with care stamped on them? I said, what do you do with them then? He said, oh, I take a step before I throw it. I don't know for sure if he really did that or not. But that's exactly what we're putting the words on there for, isn't it? Is trying to say, hey, no, this is a valuable object in this package. This can be damaged that's in here. And I'm putting these words on here because I want you to be careful, cautious in handling this. You know, I want you to handle it with kid gloves, as we say. So it doesn't get damaged, it doesn't get hurt. So, it's words of caution. So what caution is there? Well, you know, over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the apostle says, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Now I realize that doesn't say anything about the soul. It doesn't mention the soul. You know, we might be kind of going, well, what's that got to do with the soul? You know, but one of the ways to protect our soul and to handle our soul with care is to be cautious with the word that will judge our soul. Because the Word of God is what will determine, according to what God has revealed, we can now know how our soul will end up in eternity, because God has given us, you know, ahead of time, the questions, in a sense, even though we're not asked questions, but in other words, what we'll be held accountable to. And so we can look into the Word of God and we can discover, does our soul need saving? Have I done this? God has revealed that I must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If I want to be saved, Jesus said, when He said that God sent Him to the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, for those who believe, see, only the Word tells me that. If I didn't have the Word, I wouldn't know that. So I need to handle that with care. The Word reveals to me that we are to turn from sin. We need to repent. Just as Jesus said there in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, when it's recorded there about, you know, could God be punishing these people because of Pilate offering their lives as a sacrifice? Or Jesus said, well, then what about the Tyre of Siloam that fell and killed, you know, a number of people? Is that then God punishing them? He said, no. He says, you know, We will be held accountable before God on the day of judgment. And so He says, it's not just them that need to be careful that something terrible might happen to you in this life. He says, but everyone, when this life is over, whether it's taken from us or whether we live it out to its full extent, we will give an account for this life. And so He says, everyone. So He says, I tell you, nay, all must repent or perish. But see, the Word tells us that. Jesus talked about those who would not confess Him before men, but would deny Him. He says, well, I'll deny them before my Father who is in heaven. And so when we're standing there in judgment and we're going, well, Lord, don't You remember me? He goes, I don't know the guy. While You were there, You denied me. When You were in this life, You denied me. But now You want to, you know, say, hey, Lord, you know, it's me. Here I am. He says, but whosoever shall confess me before men, Him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And we have Jesus telling His disciples as He sent them out there to preach the gospel. He said, when you preach this gospel, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned. And so, you see, we wouldn't know how to save the soul. All of our souls would go before God damaged, because all need to repent, as Jesus said. We would know our souls would arrive in judgment before God damaged, condemned, because we didn't know the Word or because we didn't handle the Word right. And so it's words of caution that we might handle the Word aright. Not only that, though, as Jesus told His disciples there on the night in which He was betrayed, and He had gone off over into a little area to pray, and He asked His disciples to watch for Him, and He came back and He found them sleeping. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so that's Jesus there just throwing a big handle with care sign on us right there. He says, handle life with care, because you want to do what's right, but the flesh is weak. It often will succumb to things that it hadn't ought to. And therefore, He says, you know, we need to make sure that our lives, that we're living this, and that if we are not, that we are repenting, that we are turning from that. And so they are words of caution. And the last thing that we notice is that in spite of all of that, many times people are indifferent toward the soul. Kind of like the story I told about the clerk at the post office. Like I said, there was some truth to it. I see some things getting tossed. They just wouldn't get tossed quite as far. But why wouldn't you just take the time to go over there and carefully set it in there? Well, it takes a lot of time. I've got to have all these done so that all the carriers can get out on the route on time, so that people can get their mail. And so, you know, we just become indifferent to the soul. We don't see it. I mean, I'm looking here at a lot of faces, a lot of people. And I know there are souls in these people, but all I see is you, the body. That which I'm familiar with, that we began our lesson talking about. And so it's easy as we look at ourselves day by day in the mirror to become indifferent that there's more to us than what we see in the mirror. That's why the Scriptures talk about looking into God's Word and it being a mirror. It being a reflection of what God sees for us to be able to see ourselves. And not to be indifferent toward it. But many times people are. It's like the man in our Scripture reading this morning. He wanted material security more than spiritual. He wanted to be able to retire early. He wanted to be able to retire in style early. He wanted to have it all in this life. But Jesus said, tonight, even though He said to his soul, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. And literally there as well, He's saying, my life. I can live a life of enjoyment. I can live a life of prosperity. I can live a life of fun. And He says, but then, you know, God says, but tonight thy soul is required of thee. You know, it's like the guy that was in the city, and he saw death walking through the marketplace, and death looked at him, and he goes, oh no, death is after me. Death gave me a threatening look, and he runs home, and he tells his wife, he says, honey, he says, I gotta leave Huntington Beach for the night at least. He says, I'm gonna go clear out here to San Bernardino, because I saw death over here on Main Street today, and it gave me a threatening look. Death must be hunting me down, but, if I'm outside of Huntington Beach, you know, he's not going to be able to get me. And so my wife goes downtown and she looks death up because she's a lot, you know, more confident than I and a little tougher. And she goes down there and she looks death right in the eye. She says, death? She said, I'm disappointed. She says, you scared my husband to death? I mean, he left home. He's gone all the way to San Bernardino and he's going to stay up there because you gave him a threatening look. And Dad said, No, I did. That wasn't a threatening look. He said, I was just puzzled what he was doing here in Huntington Beach because I have an appointment with him tonight in San Bernardino. You see, Jesus said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. But so many's philosophy is summed up in the rich man who said, and I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Don't worry about eternity. Enjoy today. But what if you have an appointment in San Bernardino tonight? Well, if you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ anyway this morning, like to encourage. We told you it's an important subject. It's a big subject. It's just that it doesn't need a lot of, you know, big, deep ideas and expressions and illustrations and a lot of, you know, explanations. And it just pretty well explains itself. But it's important. If in any way you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ this morning, it's important. It'd be great if you could make the decision now, but maybe you have some questions. Maybe you're not sure about some things that the Scriptures talk about, some of the things that we discussed as far as preparing our soul for eternity, as far as, you know, obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we talked there about believing and repenting, confessing and being immersed into Jesus Christ. We'd be glad to discuss those, talk about those, but it is something that so much importance that it is worth as soon as possible to discuss these things and to consider them. But if at this time you know and you understand and you would like to accept that invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.
So the Savior, thou art needing. So the Savior.